The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker.
Sponsored by Don Greco, author. Dan Perkins, author of Songs and Stories for Soldiers. Eagle Watch Products. Effley Legal Group. iMarketing.com. Dr. James Butler, IDI Dentistry. Skip Kenny Barbecue. Ultimate Air Shuttle. Vital. Or Veterans in Defense of Liberty.
Joni Sullivan Baker of Buoyancy PR.
You're listening to W4CY.
Of Let's Just Talk. Our guest today is David E. Keeney, Esquire of Keeney and Cross. He hails from Glendora, California, where he attended the University of Southern California, where he earned his bachelor's degree in philosophy. He also attended the School of Law at Pepperdine University, where he served as president of the Christian Legal Society. He worked for several years with the law firm of Cadson, Balser, Woodward, Quinn, and Rossi in downtown Los Angeles. He was recruited to serve as a senior lawyer for California Legislature Assembly Subcommittee on Sports and Entertainment, where he got to learn more about politics than he needed to know. He had the pleasure of working with Margarita Archie Hudson, Speaker Willie Lewis Brown, and, as he puts it, more members of the Democratic Party at all levels in local, state, and federal government in California. He practices a wide spectrum of cases in administrative law, appellate law, education, general business, civil trials, and appeals with a special emphasis on quo warranto actions against public officials, and recently completed an exhaustive investigation into abuse, fraud, and waste in the field of public school bonds throughout the state of California, resulting in federal complaints and enforcement actions. He has also been involved in election contests and special administrative proceedings. He is with us today to provide an overview about the results of his recent three-year investigation into the connection between politics and an attack underway in the least expected of all places, the public schools. It's a wild ride. The story starts in 2000 as he puts it 20 years into a 100-year problem. Welcome to our show. David, if you don't mind me calling you David.
That's fine.
What's so interesting about this whole thing is that, you know, half my family lives in California. And
right.
We're not going to mention any names or anything, but some of them are involved in the school systems. And not in your area, but in other areas. And what's amazing is with these bond issues and these school levies and whatever, you know, people that are, you know, that are grandparents or whatever, every year we get hit with these. And sometimes we don't know where the money goes, especially, and now we find out in California what happened. So would you mind starting at the very beginning of your career and going into today what is happening in your investigation, if you don't mind?
Sure. A little bit of background. I was a philosophy student. I was actually going to go into the ministry, but I changed my mind and just ended up into philosophy and then went on to law school. I kind of knew I was going to be a lawyer ever since fifth grade. I was fortunate enough to get hired by Cadison, Felser, Woodard, Quinn, and Rossi when I started at USC, and really blessed to work with a gentleman by the name of Jack Quinn, who taught me everything about the practice of law, which is five columns: exhibit, date, description, introduced, and admitted. So Mr. Quinn really helped me in terms of approaching legal problems by first making sure you knew all the facts and by putting together the exhibit, date, description, and the entire chronology. So as a lawyer, I took the time to start taking a look at Proposition 39, and the Strict Accountability and Local School Bonds Construction Act of 2000. that was passed in 2000 in California. And I'll just take a quick moment to talk about the constitutional amendment and the legislation. The Constitution, before in the state of California, after Proposition 13, taxes were restricted to 1% of property value. It was amended to allow for school districts to acquire property and go up to a two-thirds vote. And then in 2000, Proposition 39 was introduced, which dropped the voter threshold from two-thirds down to 55%. So school bonds became much easier to pass. And it expanded the uses for the funds from, instead of just acquiring and improving real property, you could acquire real property, you could remodel it, you could reconstruct, do some remediation, and you could purchase office equipment and furnishings, and you could also lease property. But when Proposition 39 amended the Constitution to allow the 55% vote, the Strict Accountability and Local School Construction Bonds Act of 2000 introduced what I would call the lockbox. And that lockbox essentially says that the funds have to be deposited into a special account, and there has to be strict accounting, strict accountability. And the reason for that is because the funds are used for capital purposes. They're for improving public property, improving real property, creating capital items. So in 2000, when this amendment and strict accountability statute was first passed, before the ink could dry on the amendment or on the statute, the Los Angeles Community College District put on the ballot Proposition A for $1.25 billion, which at that time was amongst the largest school bond measures ever passed in the nation. Now, LACCD put the $1.25 billion on the ballot. But people should keep in mind that LAUSD, which is gigantic in comparison, consumes even more bond funds. But the focus for our purposes is just on LA Community College District. So in 2001, they passed the $1.25 billion, sails through, more than 55% vote. So in 2003, they put Proposition AA on the ballot and asked for close to another $1 billion. So between 2001 and 2003, the LA Community College District has $2.25 billion, which is supposed to be spent for capital improvements, property. Now, what happens is the school district's got all this money, and here come all the program managers, construction managers, financial advisors, lawyers, and the underwriters. And they all come in, and the people who advise the district are later advising on the contracting. So this $2.25 billion, which is supposed to go to capital improvement, starts just dwindling out of the LA Community College District like a flow of water out of a stream. And what happens in 2008 is LACCD runs another bond measure, this time for $3.5 billion. So here comes President Obama's elected. Major taxes are passed all throughout Los Angeles County, including our Metropolitan Transportation Agency and Measure R, which is supposed to generate $30 billion in revenue over 30 years and to build our infrastructure for rail and transportation in LA County. We also have a lot of these school bonds being passed. They're not only being passed by the community college districts, they're also being passed by the K-12 school districts. But the amounts of the bonds start to increase significantly. In other words, for example, some school districts would pass a bond for $67 million, it's enough to build a nice high school, $93 million, high school and an intermediate school. But now these bond measures are coming through at $150 million, $200 million, $600 million, you know, just huge amounts of authorization for
school bonds. Can I ask a question in here? David. Sure. Can I ask a question, if you don't mind? What was the public doing during that period of time where they voted it in? Didn't they expect to see something out of it?
Well, yeah, they expect to see schools built. They expect to see new buildings. Everybody expects all this money to be spent on capital improvements, okay? But the money's not getting spent on it.
By this time, weren't they screaming? Where's the building?
No. Let me put flesh and blood on it. Okay, it's very simple. People don't, you know, very few people ever take the time to read a school bond measure. It's complicated. It has to have an impartial analysis. It has to have a tax statement. It has to lay out the specific purposes for the bond funds. It has to include an all-embracing ballot question. And then it gets to go on to the ballot. It has to be approved by the school board and put on the ballot by the county elections officials. Well, most Americans, just like me, just like you, just like my late sister, my blessed brother, they look at a school bond measure for education. Everybody thinks education, that's a good thing. I'm voting for it. You know, small tax, no big deal. You know, I'm a member of the community. I'm casting my vote for this educational bond. These bonds passed. They passed in flying colors between 2000 and 2008. The passage rate of school bonds went, I think, up to almost 83 or 84%. I'm not certain, but it's close. So these school bonds are being passed throughout all these districts for hundreds of millions of dollars, creating all this huge public debt in the state of California. Now, that's all well and good. But a lot of things start taking place in 2008, 2009, 2010 in California. And what happens out here is that President Obama has an advisor by the name of Michael Lukosky. And Michael Lukosky writes the book Obama's Bank. That's published in 2010. And that talks about a national infrastructure bank. Now, a few people in the know are reading it, you know, the graduates from Harvard University, JFK School of Government, people who are reading Jeffrey Sachs and the Age of Sustainability. They're all reading this stuff about infrastructure. But it's all based, basically, if you really take a look at it, it goes back to the 60s or 70s when Charles Reich first published his book, The Greening of America. So Lukosky writes this book about Obama's National Infrastructure Bank, receives a lot of attention. Next thing you know, Governor Brown engages Michael Lukosky to take a look at the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank, a $35 billion institution. At the time, it's being run by Stan Hazelroth, very qualified individual, who's the executive director, and Roma Christiana Plant, charming woman. I've spoken with her, very competent. So this focus on the Obama's National Infrastructure Bank is followed by Governor Brown's focus on the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank. In 2010, John Perez, who's the Speaker of the Assembly at that time, introduces a bill, AB 29, and when he introduces the bill, it's to create, quote, GoBiz, part of the Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development. Now, whenever I see the words economic development, that means to me taxation, taxation, taxation. So here, AB 29 gets through the legislature, GoBiz is created. Next thing you know, Victor Manuel Perez from down in the Imperial Valley introduces AB 1545. And that particular bill is introduced for the purposes of harmonizing efforts between California and the border region. Now, 2012 moves by, and all of a sudden here we have President Barack Obama on February 12th of 2013, introducing Public Policy Directive number 21. And PPD 21 is for the purpose of protecting, preserving all of our critical infrastructure throughout the United States in all the different areas, chemical, transportation, nuclear, water, highways, airports, bridges, you know, everything that deals with infrastructure, our financial systems, our emergency response systems, the defense industry base, energy, financial services, food and agriculture, government facilities, healthcare and public health, like we're seeing with this coronavirus incident. You know, this is infrastructure responding to it. Information technology, transportation, nuclear reactors, materials and waste. So here comes PPD 21 on February 12th of 2013, shouting out to the nation, we're going to protect our critical infrastructure. Now, what's very interesting, on that very same day, Victor Manuel Perez, whose AB 1545 failed, reintroduces it and releases it on the same day, AB 311. AB 311 is very interesting because you can see that it's completely patterned after PPD 21. So you have Obama releasing Public Policy Directive 21, followed by V. Manuel Perez introducing AB 311. And what AB 311 does is it allows the executive director of the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank to review the budget and funding in California and to determine whether or not the bank, the California iBank, can invest funds in Baja California and Sonora, Mexico, in the two states of the United Mexican States. So this bill is crossing the border. When you take a close look at the bill, it's patterned after and also based on the functions and the objectives of the North American Development Bank. And I believe Geronimo Gutierrez Fernandez is the executive director during this particular period of time. So here comes AB 311 to be worked on like the North American Development Bank, and it has the effect of doubling the border region, doubling the size of the border region, which I think was 65 miles, but now has expanded to about 135 miles. And what's
and on that note, on that note, we need to take a short break. I'm sorry.
Sure.
So we'll come back and talk about this. And what would you like to leave before we take a break? What we're going to talk about is this bill, correct?
Yeah, we're going to talk about this bill and what happens in Mexico with it.
Okay. We'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk with lawyer David Kenny. We'll be right back.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
One of the greatest barbecue sauces ever has landed in Cincinnati. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is a barbecue sauce like no other, and they have plenty of different flavors for every occasion. Be sure to try the Skip Kenny Spicy Barbecue Sauce, Skip Kenny Sweet Barbecue Sauce, and of course, the Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce with secret ingredients. If the sauce isn't enough for you, you'll love Skip Kenny's Barbecue Rub. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is available at Jungle Gyms in Fairfield and in Eastgate.
iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email the changes to iMarketing.com and they'll take care of it for no additional cost. iMarketing.com is also a Google certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the internet very quickly. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web today by calling 513-942-7869, or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@i-mktg.com today.
Did you know that memory loss now affects almost 7 million people in America? And the Alzheimer's Research Foundation estimates that by the year 2050, there will be 50 million people with dementia in America. Are you preparing your family, especially your grandchildren, for this issue? This is Dan Perkins, and I'm the author of a new book for children ages 9 to 12 and their families to help them understand that it's not their fault when Grammy can't remember them. Why Can't Grammy Remember Me is available at Amazon or through your local bookseller. Don't make your grandchildren part of the lost generation.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Our expert, Dr. James Butler, is the original smile artist. As one of the most recognized implant and mini implant specialists in Ohio, Dr. Butler at Innovative Dental Implants, or IDI, has perfected the art of dental implants while keeping the price affordable. If you're one of the thousands who need an implant for any reason, Dr. Butler can provide just what you need. He's been on many extreme makeover programs, and he's an expert on Let's Just Talk. When looking for an affordable implant at a fair price, call IDI at 614-529-0062 or visit us at IDISmile.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Riker on W4CY.
We are back with David Kenny, who is part of Kenny and Cross in Pico Rivera, California. And we're talking about this bill that, David, if you don't mind repeating what you said before the break.
Yeah, sure. There are two pieces. The first one is not a bill. It's Public Policy Directive number 21 in 2013. And the other one is the California bill, Assembly Bill 311, introduced the same day, February 12th of 2013.
Okay. And one of the things I wanted to ask in between here is nobody really knows or is paying attention to what's happening with the amount of money that they're taking out of their tax dollars. It's not affecting Californians. I mean, it's gone up 50%, hasn't it?
Well, it's astronomical out here. I mean, there's a bond for everything nowadays. School bonds, affordable housing bonds, water bonds, you name it, they're passing bonds in the state of California.
I don't know how the state of California is still existing, because some of the problems that you have in California are, I mean, you're a sanctuary, excuse the expression here, you're a sanctuary state now, you're a sanctuary cities everywhere, there's homelessness. I mean, it's terrible what's happening in California. So for you to stand up for what you believe in, we have to thank you for this mission. And how has it affected you? Can I ask that question? How has it affected you and your family for doing this?
It's just been horrible. I had a very nice law practice. It was terminated when I stood up and objected to what I believed to be criminal activity taking place in the district. I was fired. Superintendent was fired. Chief financial operations officer was filed, and they kept the guy that I pointed out as being the crook. So so my firm was fired, and I settled a big case after that, so I decided to conduct my own investigation, and I went back and investigated this whole thing all the way back to the year 2000, and then came forward and have made some just astounding discoveries. They're scary. I know how to read legislation. I know where to look for it. This stuff is frightening out here. For example, let me give you an example. In 2016, there was a bill, and there were two bills in San Francisco. One was for Proposition, I think it was A, and one was for Proposition N. And the one was for the non-citizen voting. And the way that bill worked was this. If you had a relationship with a child, didn't matter if the child was a citizen or a non-citizen, but if that child was a resident of the city and county of San Francisco, and you had a relationship with that child, either as a parent, as a legal guardian, or even a caretaker. So one child could have two parents, a couple legal guardians, and a few caretakers. All these non-citizens could then register to vote in school board elections. That's what, I think it was Proposition A. It was either Proposition A or Proposition N in San Francisco. So they're allowing for non-citizen voting based on a relationship with a child that is not very well defined, and you qualify to vote in school board elections. Now, I think that strikes me as being against the Constitution, because I believe that teachers and public educational officers are officers of the federal government. They're engaged in the supervision of the expenditures, the receipt of revenue and the expenditures, and they have certain responsibilities. They have fiduciary obligations to the federal government. But when you have non-citizen voting, now all of these people who are not citizens of the United States get an opportunity to vote for school board members. And that's what's going on in San Francisco, and you're going to see more of that, I think, taking place around the rest of the state. There's no question in my mind whatsoever that the state of California has entered into some agreement with Mexico. I don't know what the contours are, but it's clear from the chronology when you start in the middle of 2013, Janet Napolitano leaves the Department of Homeland Security and moves on to be the president of the University of California. The existing staff at the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank is fired. They bring in two new people. The AB 311 is trying to make its way through the legislature. It does not succeed. But you can see the plan. You can see the scheme, which is to take California money and to start using that money to fund infrastructure development in what is known as the Cali Baja mega region out here, which is northern Baja California and also northern Sonora in the state of, in United Mexican States. So there's this cross-border deal going on between the legislators in the state of California and the government of Mexico. That's taking place. You can see it. There are a bunch of manifestations of that. For example, there's a California Green Bank Act. This is promoted by Senator Kevin De Leon. There's also establishing different activities down in Mexico. And let me just run you through a quick chronology. It'll only take a moment.
Go ahead.
In 2008, the Cali Baja mega region is formed. California legislators moved their focus on the IBANC. In November of 2009, President Obama announced a 100,000-strong educational exchange initiative with China. That goal now, if you look at www.110kstrong.org, is no longer 100,000. It's now 1 million. In 2010, Lukoski publishes Obama's bank. Governor Brown hired Lukoski. In January of 11, Enrique Peña Nieto, as a candidate, promised a national gendarmerie, a military-trained police force of 100,000 strong. In March of 2011, President Obama established a 100,000-strong initiative with Latin America and the Caribbean. In July of 2012, Nieto's elected. In November, Obama's reelected. They met in Washington. And the next thing you know, in November December, Vice President Biden, CIA John Brennan, Labor Secretary Hilda Solis, and Ambassador Roberta Jacobson were dispatched to Peña Nieto's inauguration. That was either December or January of 2012. In April of 2013, Governor Brown goes to China, opens a foreign trade office in Shanghai. You can see that on amchamchina.org. Governor Brown, Speaker Perez, Assemblyman V. Manuel Perez, and others clean out the IBANC, put in new executive directors. On July 16th, the Bank of California President Steve Sugarman hires Antonio Villaraigosa. On July 18th, the Board of Regents of the University of California appoints Janet Napolitano as president. IBANC and Bank of Cal are involved with CEO clearinghouse of CDFI. Bank of California purchases 9%. But now, in July of 2014, Governor Brown and V. Manuel Perez led a trade delegation to Mexico for the purpose of integrating economics, education, and security. In August, the Treasury released $100 million in bonds to clearinghouse CDFI and the Opportunity Finance Network. In October, Villaraigosa and Mexican officials are meeting at the Baku Conference in Azerbaijan. In August of 2015, Secretary of State John Kerry announced the U.S.-Mexico Bilateral Forum on Higher Education, Innovation, and Research in Mexico. On February 17th, Pope Francis held a mass on the U.S.-Mexican border. On May 8th, Secretary told students to get ready for a borderless world, enforced by a militia of 300,000 strong, which he didn't say. But it seems to me that President Obama, Vice President Biden, CIA Director Clapper, Villaraigosa, and Perez started to pry open the United States for an invasion.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What the facts tell me.
Oh, yes, I can see that. And that's the reason why we had so many people on the border trying to get in. And why, am I correct about that?
Oh, 100% correct. And they're bringing them wave after wave after wave.
Right. And so that's the reason why when in 2016, Trump figured it out, or was he had to be aware of what was going on, right, or not?
I believe he started getting wind of it in between 2006 to 2010.
Before he was elected,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He knew about this years before.
And so that's the reason why they're so very angry that he's doing what he's doing, especially on the borders. Am I correct?
Yeah, look, President Trump is trying to secure the borders of the United States of America, and the people of the United States of America need to understand that, okay? And you're going to hear all these different arguments. You see this bill recently introduced by AOC and company about a new pathway forward. All that is run over the gate, run over the wall.
Right.
Okay.
I need to take another break here, so
sure.
We'll be right back with David Kenny right after these messages.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis is a severe disease causing scarring of the lungs. Symptoms include a persistent dry cough, shortness of breath, and a Velcro-like crackle in the lungs, which a doctor can hear. Go to pulmonaryfibrosis.org to learn more.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Do you want to read wonderful novels about historic, wonderful places in Youngstown, Ohio? Then you need to get Don Greco's books. The nice thing about his books are they're not about spies. They're not about zombies. They're just ordinary people that have extraordinary lives. Visit DonGrecoNovels.com.
Buoyancy PR, telling your story, keeping your message afloat. Okay, enough about us. Let's talk about you. You have a great story to tell, whether it's a product, a new book, or a worthy cause. You have a message worth hearing. Buoyancy PR will help you fine-tune that message and get it over the sea of information. Who, what, where, when, how, and why. These classic questions of a news story will introduce you to Buoyancy PR. After you've had a chance to get acquainted, let us know what we can do for you. For more information, contact Joni Sullivan Baker at 513-319-3231 or go to buoyancypr.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We are back with David Kenny, and we are talked about Proposition A. We didn't touch on Proposition N, which is actually in San Francisco, am I correct?
Yeah, it's either Proposition A or Proposition N. But that was, I believe that's November of 2016.
Right. So when I can truly understand this, and my audience can too. What happened, and what I can understand, is what happened to all the money, and it did nothing for the schools and buildings that the money was originally appropriated for. Am I correct?
I believe so. Let me see if I can help you with this. By the way, I've got the information in front of me. Proposition A in San Francisco was for, I think, close to $744 million in school bonds for authorization, and Proposition N was the one for non-citizen voting. But right. let's get back to your question about where does the money go?
This is going to be kind of typical. Where did it go? That's it. That's the question. Where did it go?
Okay. So we're going to try to answer that question very simply. What I'd like you to do is to just put your hands out like you're going to shake someone's hand, right hand and left hand. We're going to take your thumb, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the thumb on the right, we're going to call that the president of the board. The thumb on the left, we're going to call that the program manager. Now, as the fingers match up, you've got a construction manager, you got a vice president of the board. As you go down your fingers, you've got a architect, you've got a clerk of the board. As you continue to go down, you've got a lawyer, and then you've got an underwriter, and you've got two more members of the board. Now, I believe what happens in the state of California, based on the evidence, is over the last, since 2000, if you take all of the California educational bond measures, they're approved by voters between then and 2008. The amount is absolutely astronomical up and down the state. Now, when I drive past, for example, my old high school, Glendora High, I don't see any major improvements. Now, I don't know that Glendora passed a bond. But when I drive by all these other school districts that have passed millions upon millions of dollars in bonds, and I look at what happened, I just don't see all the improvements. The classic example is, in August of 2011, Controller John Chang reviewed the L.A. County Los Angeles Community College District and found that it was just ridden with abuse, fraud, and waste. He's got a full report on that. Just put John Chang, LACCD, you'll see his audit report. All these funds are just disappearing in the state of California, and while some of them make their way into capital projects, I don't believe the rest of the money does. I believe that it seeps out, and I believe that it funds campaign activities. That's my belief. How that happens, if you have a school that's going to cost $75 million to build, what if it's $85 million? Where's that other $10 million go? Maybe the contracts are a little too high. It just seems to me like California is riddled with school bond corruption. From Trinity County up north, Siskiyou County up north, all the way down to San Diego County. There's a fundamental example in San Diego County. Sweetwater Union High School District, right on the border, passes a $644 million school bond authorization. Let me give you an example. Calexico passes a small bond, I think $45, $50 million, followed by Coachella. Coachella passes a $250 million bond. Where's all this money going? What's being built? I think the California taxpayers are being ripped off to an unbelievable amount of money.
Why aren't they doing something about it? Why aren't they?
They don't know about it.
They don't know about it. So
they don't know about it.
They don't know about it. I can't believe it. I don't know if they're just don't care. I mean, their taxes have gone up through the roof. They even laid teachers off. And they
laying
don't.
Them off throughout the,
yeah.
But they're laying the old teachers off throughout the state. They're hiring all the young ones. They're getting out of UCLA, Cal State LA.
Well, that are very.
You know, new ones that are just getting licensed, which is fine. We need new teachers.
Right. But the point, I think, is why are we not electing officials or different people into the state of California? Like, get rid of Jerry Brown, who's been there. How many times has he been elected to governor now?
I think three or four.
Three or four. I think there should be a law that he doesn't get reelected again as a governor.
Well, now he's the I think he's president of the Climate Change Commission at UC Berkeley. I believe he's the chairman of the commission.
I mean, I don't understand why Californians want to keep on putting up with all this stuff, even though they don't know about it, but it's got to be hitting their pocketbooks. There's a lot of companies that are moving out of California because of the taxes. Am I right?
Wait, I think people aren't moving out. I think they're hightailing it out.
Because they can't afford it anymore.
I think there's a plan to ruin the state of California and then rebuild it. That's what I believe.
To be a communist country and to be not in the United States.
That's what I think.
I agree. I really believe that. I believe that with the help of Hollywood, they've done a real good job on it. And I think with the fake media that's out there, and which I'm not part of, they've done that a good job on that as well.
I was going to say, what's very interesting to me, there's a committee in our California legislature that says the California and Mexico Binational Committee. Now, California is a state. It's not a nation.
That's right.
Why would it have a binational committee working with Mexico? And you see the focus of the University of California, and it's spending hundreds of millions of dollars in extending education down into Mexico. Now, let me make myself extraordinarily clear. I am the biggest advocate of education on the planet, okay?
Right.
I really am. But I believe honest, good values, morals, I think those things should be taught in education. When you move from focusing instead of on education and the content of education, and instead you shift your focus over to the facilities of education, there's a lot of money there. And this whole economic development is focused on exploiting the funds for facility development and to use those funds for political purposes. That's what I believe.
Now, here's the question, David. That is so amazing. Now, this is under investigation right now. What's going to happen with it?
I have no idea.
Let me ask you a question. Have you been on Hannity yet?
I have not.
I think I would send this to the producers of Hannity and America's own network, because those are basically the two that are out there that are not so far left that they're not getting it out there. I think this should be on the president's desk, to be honest about it, because honestly, this is so corrupt. This is unreal. And I have relatives there. This really bothers me. I've got there's two candidates in California, one in San Diego and one in San Francisco, that are running for this year's election. And to be honest about it, I'm getting behind anybody that is going to clean up the state of California, because if we don't do something now, it's going to be not part of the union anymore, because people are going to say, enough is enough. Pardon me?
You can kiss a goodbye.
Yeah, you can kiss a goodbye.
I'm telling you, if you don't get some substantial and significant focus on the state of California by the federal government, we're going to have real problems out here, real problems.
And I can't believe that the citizens in the sanctuary cities in California, which is now a sanctuary state, are screaming. They've had enough of what's going on, and we do need to elect the right people and get the state of California back on track.
I concur.
And I think with what you're doing is really – I'm hoping that it goes to the top. I hope it goes to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. I think things need to be shook up.
California has a unique relationship on the West Coast. Now, there's an awful lot of activity out here, not only in California, but also in Baja California. There's this Cali Baja mega region that was formed in 2008, which was going during the Obama administration. Between 2008 and 2016, that Cali Baja region was going strong. Now, President Trump shut it down, I believe, or slowed it down, for lack of a better word. But there are a lot of new, interesting development. There's an Israeli mission there's an Israeli department or division that's constituting a mission to Baja California and taking a look at Baja California. They're investing in Baja California. I believe Benjamin Netanyahu was down there pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of the similarity between the geographical region of Israel and the geographical region of Baja California, that they are pretty similar, and some of the technologies in Israel can be exploited in Baja California as well. For example, I think it's that drip irrigation is a perfect example. There's a Israeli company that is sold out to a Mexican company. But there's an awful lot of activity out here on the West Coast. There's a, you know, there's a, I think, a war taking place. I don't believe it's certainly an information technology war. There's no question about that. And it's very scary, very frightening what's taking place in the state of California.
Well, I think that with attorneys like you that really care, and I think new politicians that are coming forward to run in the state of California, we need to get behind them. We need to put what you have out there and you've done out into the public view like crazy, and I will make sure that it gets out there.
Because I would encourage a federal task force to look at California school bond funding over the last 20 years. I can't do it myself in my office. I've looked at probably 50 different school districts up and down the state, the ones in the sanctuary city, the ones in the sanctuary counties, in the sanctuary cities. You know, it's unbelievable. Let me tell you something else. This is kind of shocking, but let me give you an example. They're building what is called, or they're trying to establish what are called plaza communitarias. And the plaza communitarias, they're trying to use school bond money and city bond money to build these plazas. And this is a program that is being encouraged by the government of Mexico inside the state of California. If you look on the website, all you have to do is look at Mexican consulate, enter the words plaza communitarias, and you'll
just
see all the
projects. Let me write that. Mexican what? Consulate.
Yeah, Mexican consulate, plaza communitarias.
And would you spell that for us? Plaza, go ahead. Not the plaza.
Plaza, P-L-A-Z-A. Communitarius is C-O-M-U-N-I-T-A-R-I-A-S. Communitarius.
Communitarius, okay.
Okay.
You can look on the communist areas that they're promoting?
Communal. They're to build the community. It's part of building. Look, let's make it real clear. Let's make it easy to understand. Robert Pastor's dream of North American unity, the North American Union, eliminating the political borders between Canada and Mexico and having one great big North America, that appears to be the objective, eliminating the borders between the United States and Mexico, and at some point in the future, eliminating the border between the United States and Canada, one great big happy family.
Really?
Well, I'm not real pleased about having drug lords as my next-door neighbors.
No, I don't think you should either. And I don't think that – I think that if we elect and bring in the communists in this next election, you might as well move out of the country. I mean, this is an example. Venezuela is a huge example of what they're trying to accomplish here, I believe.
Did objectives.
Pardon me, that is the objective. I mean, Bernie Sanders, I mean, you listen to these people, and you go, you're shaking your head going, really? Really? You really want to do this to us? How can people get a hold of you, David?
I'm at WilshireLawyers@MSN.com. WilshireLawyers@MSN.com.
And thank you so much for joining us today on Catherine Rager's Let's Just Talk. And I'd love to have you on my television show anytime.
Wonderful chat. Thank you so much for the time. God bless America, the land
that I love.
God
bless America. Thank you. And we'll see you next time on Catherine Rager's Let's Just Talk.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget to go to our website at letsjusttalkradio.com or CatherineRakersWorld.com. Thank you, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker.
Sponsored by Don Greco, author,
Dan Perkins, author of Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Eagle Watch Products, Effley Legal Group, iMarketing.com, Dr. James Butler, IDI Dentistry, Skip Kenny Barbecue, Ultimate Air Shuttle, Vital, or Veterans in Defense of Liberty.
Joni Sullivan Baker of Buoyancy, PR.
You're listening to W4CY.